Some passages of Scripture are hard to understand. Some passages of Scripture are hard to do. Fortunately for me, the assigned lesson for today is a most understandable, achievable, likable text. Jesus is on the road with his disciples. When they get to where they're going, he asks them what all the fuss was about when they were on the road. They are silent because they had been discussing which of them was the greatest disciple. And Jesus tells them, if you would be first, you must be last. He who would be first of all must be servant of all. And taking this child into his arms, he says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Now, there are harder texts in the Bible. If your eye leads you to sin, you must pluck it out. Or go sell all you have and give it to the poor. But here the case is different. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Oh, it may be a bit saccharine, but nevertheless, it's likable. It's a thought also found in Matthew and Luke. Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs, it says in Luke chapter 18. It's a likable text because, after all, who doesn't receive a little child? Nobody. I know no one who agrees with W.C. Fields when he said, any man who hates dogs and children can't be all bad. We receive little children. We open our hearts to them. Sometimes it's hard to receive Jesus when he comes as a political, revolutionary Messiah, the harsh prophet, the critic of our religion. But to receive Jesus as a little child, I can and do receive him as thus. Later, when Jesus grimly warns, whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for a millstone to be tied around their neck and for them to be cast into the sea. I don't know about you, but for me, no problem there, for I would never knowingly trip up a toddler. Would any of you? No stumbler of little ones are we. But on another level, there's something about this text that troubles me deeply. Be careful with this text. It's been much abused by preachers. You've heard sermons on the alleged virtue of childhood faith. If we could only become like little children. But scholars say if you hear this text as a glorification of childhood or the child, you've heard it wrong. That's not the point. In that part of the world, in Jesus' day, children were of little value, worthless, second-class citizens at best. A child was a burden, dependent, helpless, non-productive. A child was not a full human being until adulthood. Think of references to children in the Bible. When I was a child, Paul said, I thought and acted like a child. And when I became a man, in other words, when I became a full human being, I put away childish things. For those who heard this, children were so low on the social totem pole as to be incapable of glorification. The text says more about Jesus than it does children. In my kingdom, Jesus says, even helpless, dependent, valueless children will be honored, no less than the poor, the outcast, the hungry, the wretched of the earth. Even children. Here is a Lord who serves the lowly, exalts the humble, receives even children. More than that, he says, if you receive a child, you receive me. The same is said in the last of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus tells us that memorable parable of the last judgment. On the last day, they say, Lord, when did we see you hungry, naked, in prison? And he said, when you did it unto the least of these, read little ones, read children, you did it unto me. I am the least, the little, the lowly, the child. The irony of all is that Jesus is on his way to his death. And on his way, the disciples are in deep discussion. "What are you talking about?" Jesus asks, and they're silent. They're silent because they have been talking about greatness. When we get him elected Messiah and this kingdom come, which one of us will serve on the Supreme Court, they're talking about. Jesus said, if anyone would be greatest, he must be least. And he takes a little child in his arms and he places the little child in the middle of them as an illustration, a symbol, a sacrament of what he's talking about. It's a nice thought and a receivable one, because even if we have a long way to go in our treatment of the poor, the sick, the oppressed, at least we can take pride that we adults have progressed in our regard for children. We honor children, we love children, we receive them. Well, mostly receive them. We read that there is a widespread epidemic of child abuse. "I wish somebody had warned me that children were so selfish and demanding," he said as they indicted him for battering the head of his infant son. "I don't have time to have this baby," she said in exasperation as she dropped the infant off at our mother's morning out program. Yeah, like that. Working parents, inflation, long weekends, overpopulation, our political loyalties, to say nothing of our adult emotional well-being, all put a strain on our ability, in the words of one person, to suffer the little children. Sylvia Rogers was the wife of a British politician. A German Jewish refugee to Britain, she was one of four 10-year-olds to survive out of a class of 20 children in her Jewish school in Germany. She said it took her more than 50 years to come to terms with the pain of being the one and only child from a strange country. "I had become like an insect, which sensing danger folds inward and feigns death," she said. "I dared not relax, I dared not be spontaneous, and my very body became rigid in order to protect itself." Are we receptive to children? We live in a culture that worships independence, self-sufficiency, autonomy. When Jesus receives a little child, he's depicting a very, very, very different kingdom from the one we have made for ourselves. A kingdom with a very small door where only the lonely and vulnerable get to be great. The English television personality Sir Richard Attenborough was a schoolboy in 1939. His parents helped bring Jewish refugees out of Hitler's Germany. In most cases, it meant housing them for a few days while their papers were put in order so they could go to relatives in the United States or Canada. One day, his mother went up to London to fetch two German girls, Irene, 12, and Helga, 9. Everyone thought they would leave in a couple of days. But while they were staying at the Attenboroughs, war broke out, and all transport leaving Britain was halted. Richard came home from school one day to find his father in the library explaining to Irene and Helga, who'd been planning to go to America, that they were now stranded and there was nowhere for them to go. Their mother was in a concentration camp in Germany and their father was likely to be. The Attenboroughs adopted the two girls whose parents did not survive the war. A while back, I was watching a PBS documentary on welfare. The show followed a caseworker who visited a woman who lived with her two children in a two-room apartment. The woman was in the process of moving the few belongings of her 84-year-old mother into her own apartment. The mother had just had a stroke. Her mother was left totally helpless by the stroke, incontinent and without speech. "Listen," the caseworker said to the woman, "you can't be moving your mother in here with you. You've got all you can handle on your own, with two children and all your other problems. You're going to have to feed your mother, change her bedpan, wash her linens. That's ridiculous. Nobody expects you to have to do that for your mother. We'll send her to the county home where they can look after her. The woman listened politely, and then all she said in a low voice was, well, she done all that for me when I was little, so why can't I do it for her now that she needs somebody? On the way back to the car, the caseworker said, sometimes I don't know if there's any hope for these deprived people or not. Here at the Church of St. Michael and St. George, over and over and over again, elderly parishioners tell me that all they really want out of their final years is not to be a burden. I say, why not? If you're not a burden to your children, how are they going to learn to be Christians? We live in a world that values independence, freedom, and liberation. Well-paid jobs and success pave the way for that. So we let these little ones, the very old, the very young, the poor, the sick, the addicted, the developmentally challenged, refugees, the mentally ill, we let them fend for themselves. We are careful only to do for those who can do something for us. We work hard in life so that we might someday be eminent and important and great. So do you see how tough a text this is for me? Do you sense how embarrassed I am here, prepared to meet the great, omnipotent, omniscient God? I'm looking for a God who will make me greater, make me stronger, make me bigger than I am. And instead, I get this deceptively comfortable text. I encounter a God who's vulnerable, small, childlike, weak, tugging at my vestments, trying to get my attention, trying to lead me toward a kingdom that has a very small door. Whoever receives a child in my name receives me. Amen.